2 on a Friday. Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We'll play you in its entirety the endorsement of Governor Tim Walz by Jesse Ventura. Walz tweeted out, "What an honor. Thrilled to be endorsed by at Governor Jay Ventura. I am committed to being a governor for all Minnesotans, and I'll work with anyone who's willing to work with me to get things done. Thank you, Jesse, for taking the unprecedented step to cast your independent vote for me." This is really odd, though, because Walz is openly accepting this endorsement. Going on Jesse Ventura's podcast, we'll have audio for you coming up. And yet, Ventura is like the most Putin's puppet of anybody that I can think that actually is a Putin's puppet, which is a ridiculous assertion as it is. But in a world where the criticism of Donald Trump was largely in part due to this hoax of Russia collusion and all these claims of being Putin's puppet, and this may be the reason why, and we'll talk with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien here in a moment, this may be the core reason why Jesse Ventura threw his endorsement behind Walz, because Trump went and endorsed Dr. Scott Jensen. And yet Ventura talks directly about Vladimir Putin and meeting him and talking with him. At the same time, he peddles conspiracy theories. And you got Walz, who tweeted out, "It's unacceptable for any candidate to put our state at risk with extreme conspiracy theories. He's not from Minnesota." Talking about Dr. Scott Jensen. This doesn't make any sense to me. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, I know you got a lot of it. You have a lot of hot takes on this. We spoke a bit yesterday with regard to this endorsement. So, where is your, now that you've had many hours and a night's sleep to think about this, where is your head at right now as it relates to why Governor Tim Walz would be, I mean, really embracing this endorsement? This isn't like a, "Hey, thanks, Jesse." This is a full-on embracing of Jesse Ventura's endorsement. Again, going online, going on his podcast for a half hour, discussing issues, kind of. We'll play some audio coming up. Where's your head at this morning, Jeff?
Well, you know, a lot of the things that my thoughts are kind of what you've already kind of said here, John, is the focus, my focus has been that it's clear that that Governor Walz sought out this endorsement, right? Because unlike, so the Trump endorsement of Jensen comes via Trump's Truth Social account, and he does his usual, you know, "Oh, he'd be a great governor. He has my total and complete endorsement," right? The usual thing. And like you said earlier, you know, Dr. Jensen has kind of said, "It's nice, but, you know, I didn't ask for it." This video of Governor Ventura endorsing Walz came out via Tim Walz's campaign Twitter account, his personal Twitter account. And like you said, with the quote on it, "I'm so proud to have this endorsement." And so this was obviously sought out. And I think that what this, if he's seeking out the endorsement of someone who was elected governor as an independent in Minnesota, I mean, 25 years ago almost, right? It tells me that something, the Walz campaign people are looking at the numbers with independents, and it's not looking good, and this was their attempt to try to resolve that.
Yeah, it really does. It feels like a risk versus reward here. I have to assume, Jeff, they have to be looking at something specific internally to where, well, we can afford to sort of take on this crazy dude's endorsement, even with all the baggage attached to it, because we can peel off this little slice right here. Jeff, I'll admit this. I'm talking with Jeff O'Brien. I could be way overthinking this, and this is just pure desperation in the Walz camp, and they're not even thinking that deeply. But there has to be some sort of calculus here.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange calculus, though, John. I mean, to think that you know, to treat independents as almost like their own party, as if they haven't changed in a quarter century. You know, I was at an event, a client of mine hosted an event with Governor Ventura a few weeks ago, and I was there, and I could definitely sense in the room that the people that were, you know, there were probably Trump supporters. A lot of them were Trump supporters. So the I would say 75% or 80% of what was the Jesse voters later became Trump voters. And you mentioned it in your previous segment, John. Jesse has a huge thing with Trump. And, you know, that when it's, you know, 20 years ago, they were very chummy. He was trying to promote him to run for president, wanted to be his vice president. Even up until 2015, he was musing about, you know, wanting to be his vice president. And then they just, you know, Jesse is, you know, claims to be an independent, but he's much harsher on the Republicans than he is on the Democrats, which is bizarre because some of the things that he espouses, you'd think he'd be more, you know, things like Second Amendment and lower taxes, you'd think he'd be more with the Republicans, but he's not. And so, you know, he likes to talk about January 6th, which is apparently the only event that he doesn't have a conspiracy theory for. And talking about Trump as being a traitor and a treasonist. And so this almost seems reactive, like they went to Jesse after the Trump endorsement and asked him to do this. And, of course, at that point, he'd be willing to do it. He doesn't even mention Scott Jensen in the endorsement. He doesn't even mention, you know, if you're trying to move the needle towards Tim Walz, you'd think they'd talk about the one issue where they have they are aligned with legalization of cannabis, where there is popular support for it. And Jesse's full disclosure, Jesse's very articulate on that. He's got a book that's very, very good read. There are a lot of things that I like about him. But, you know, sometimes when he starts talking about some of these conspiracy theories and some of the anti-Trump stuff, you just kind of tune it out as, well, it's just Jesse being Jesse. So again, it's the motivation behind this. And as I'm watching the social media traffic, the one who's taken the big hits on this is Jesse. Jesse's people are kind of like, where did you go? Why, you know, what happened to the Jesse of 1998? So this didn't do much for Jesse's brand if that was what his attempt to do was. And with Walz, there is some of the questions about the 9/11 conspiracies and how the irony of now he's taking the endorsement of someone who has pushed conspiracy theories when he was criticizing Dr. Jensen for that just days ago. But I think this suggests that, you know, things aren't rosy in the Walz camp, and I'm thinking that probably I think independent voters are seeing that empty podium graphic and taking that as a sign of disrespect that their governor isn't willing to debate his opponent on issues.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Karen Sullivan over at alphanews.org put together a piece earlier this week laying out what a mistake it was for Walz not showing up to that recent debate in that empty podium. I think a lot of that... a lot of that is going to depend on how many people ended up seeing it to know how big of a tangible impact it had. And I think the same thing rings true when it comes to this endorsement. Almost every single local media outlet, though, has covered this endorsement of Jesse Ventura, although they did all have it. As far as I can tell, all the local media outlets, including the Star Tribune, had it as sort of third-tier, fourth-tier stories, not leading stories, which makes me, again, continue to scratch my head going... Now, if this was a bigger deal, or if the local media had thought this was going to help Walz, they would have plastered this as a lead story, and they didn't. And again, as I mentioned before, and it's kind of the thing I keep going back to, and you mentioned it as well, is it just really reeks of desperation. We have the story out of Arizona Democrat governor candidate Katie Hobbs blamed the GOP candidate Kari Lake for burglary at the campaign headquarters without providing any proof. They caught the suspect, and then Hobbs ends up going silent on this. You're seeing this around the country, and most of the stories as of this morning, all these closely contested races are all kind of beginning to lean further and further towards the right, including, we'll get to this later on, articles coming out of what the Democrats plan on doing if they get beat handily in the midterms. What are they going to go and blame it on? So maybe Walz is in bigger trouble than we even think at this point in time. That's when you kind of do the, you know, what's the most logical answer to this weirdness? That's kind of where I go. I don't know. The more I talk about it, the more I kind of go, this is just strange, especially him going on the podcast with everything that we have going on. I mean, that is so much fodder, Jeff O'Brien, for Dr. Scott Jensen if he wants to take advantage of it. With all the issues we're faced with, and you got Walz taking a half hour of time to go on Jesse Ventura's podcast, that's just weird.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, and the one thing I should mention too with their, you know, they've had, I wouldn't say they have a friendship, but you recall when Walz was elected governor, he brought all the former governors in to meet with him. And I remember that this event was a few weeks ago, Jesse mentioned that and how much he liked Walz because he did that. Walz was the first governor to reach out and sit down with Jesse. So, you know, you got somebody with an ego, you know, and you come to him and call in a favor, they're going to do it. So I don't think, I know we were joking before, I don't think he paid $150 on Cameo for the endorsement, but there obviously right. something said or done to get this to happen. And maybe for Jesse, you know, having a sitting governor on his podcast gives him additional credibility and maybe potentially additional subscribers. So maybe that was kind of the unspoken quid pro quo. I don't know. But it was just, like I said, it was just weird. It was, and the timing of it coming the day after the Trump endorsement, it's so blatantly apparent why it was done.
It would seem to me that it would have been more effective if they were, it would have been a lot more effective for Governor Tim Walz, because he would have gotten the same amount of press, right? If he had taken the same approach that Dr. Scott Jensen and Kim Crockett took in their respective races. If he had taken the, hey, you know, thanks. I appreciate the endorsement of former governor, you know, Jesse Ventura. He certainly knows something about the position that I'm in, the difficulties of it, and I appreciate it. And then left it at that. But again, I think that would have been much more effective, because at least he would have had a bit of a buffer. But again, it's this full throttled embrace of a hug of this that, and I'll play the audio coming up here. Well, I guess we'll all see here in just a little over a week.
I would say that this the way it's been rolled out suggests that the governor is in trouble with independents, and is pulling desperate moves like this to try to get them back.
Yeah, I just don't see it working. I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
I don't either.
But I don't see it. I don't see it working.
25 years is a long period of time between Jesse getting elected, and I just don't think that that same voter block is what it is, what it was then.
No.
Today's independents are not 1998's independents, and I don't know that Jesse's endorsement of Tim Walz is going to move the needle enough. And maybe they think they don't need it to move very much, they just need to move it a little, but we'll see what happens.
Hey, do you have any quick thoughts on the other big story today with Elon Musk taking over Twitter and canning some of those top executives? I was curious if you had a thought on that.
Well, it's certainly not a surprise that he's basically moving the old regime out. I guess we'll find out how soon some of these banned accounts come back. I keep looking at Babylon Bee to see if they tweet anything new. Which is kind of funny, because it was really the banning of a parody account that got Elon Musk to start musing about buying Twitter, and then he went ahead and did it. So I do agree with his philosophy that it needs to be a digital town square, with, you know, obviously some guardrails for for divisive speech. But what that means is a lot. Not narrower concept than just speech that you don't agree with the philosophy of somebody. So it'll be interesting to see. I did note, I think the legal counsel was the one that made the call on banning Trump. So she was one of the, you know, she was the third one fired here today. So, it would be good for the exchange of ideas to have Twitter kind of get a reset here. The Truth Social thing is basically an echo chamber.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more folks back on Twitter having those conversations and exchanging. And if some people can't handle it, well, then they can just, you know, not be on the platform.
Yeah. I think
it could be a good thing.
Yeah, I think this is really going to end up hurting those other platforms because they really are more echo chambers than anything else. And I don't see a lot of people pitching off of Twitter. As a matter of fact, I would think a lot of individuals who may say they're frustrated by it are probably going to welcome the change as well, even though they never admit it in public. And I think it has the potential to sort of bring Twitter back to, you know, what it was prior to all the controversies with the removal of these individuals. As always, Jeff O'Brien. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend.
Thank you. Sounds good. Thanks, John.